Evening, saints. God bless. Shalom to each and everyone. Welcome to our Bible study once again this evening. We do greet you this evening. Sorry, it's a Thursday this week, but it's good to meet. It's really a good thing to fellowship. Paul said in the scripture that don't forsake the assembling of one another together. And he said, and more so as you see the day approaching. So it's a very, very important thing. And I think it's a blessed thing to do. Now I see Zoom has changed. I don't know if people can see the change to their Zoom. There's now AI and all these kind of things. So it's quite interesting. You wonder what some of these things do. It might be good one day to have a look and see what we can do with all of these different things. But what I'm just trying to find is, how do I share my screen? There it is there. Okay, so God bless saints. This is what we're having a look at this evening. As we spoke about last week when we finished up on our conduct, order, and doctrine, we said what we'd like to look at by the grace of God is something that would lead us maybe to understand current events a little bit better, you know, maybe just a refresher to people on current events if you already know it, but also bearing in mind that next week on Friday, we go to Czech Republic with the young people and then on to Auschwitz. So I think it's really quite a good thing if the Lord would help us to get into the spirit of what we're going to be looking at, what we're going to be doing when we're there. And I'm hoping by the grace of God, introduction this week, having a look at modern events, which should lead us into something next week for the Bible study, which would be maybe hitting the nail on the head as we head towards Auschwitz. It's so good to prepare for something. It's so good to understand what you're getting into. It's so good to be in the spirit of something. You know, I don't like getting to a place and say, but what are we here for? What is this all about? I don't think that's the ideal situation. So that's why we're trying to do this, taking a bit of a diversion from what we're doing from the youth camp, having a look at the COD stuff, looking at dress and hair and modesty and stuff like that. Now, this is just getting back to modern events, because I think we can all see that things have taken a turn again. There's certain times, certain events take place, and you just feel there's something significant about this, you know, that sometimes the curtain opens a little bit, and it's good to have a look behind the curtain to see what is really going on here and where could this lead to. And that's what we wanted to have a look at this evening. Some of it will be pretty straightforward. Some of it we already know, but hopefully we can just put some pieces of the jigsaw puzzle together and not make it more confusing, but make the day that we're living a little bit more understandable. Because, you know, the Bible is tomorrow's newspaper headlines. It always has been. And once in a while, you're able to catch up. You find the modern events are made clear by prophecy, and you can catch up with exactly where you are on the page and say, okay, this is that which the scripture spoke of. So may the Lord help us and just lead us into this, because these are very prophetic times. We know that. This is the climax of the ages. Things are building somewhere. We find these principalities, these powers, these nations now jostling for position. You find all positional play. It's like the chessboard. All the pieces are being put in place for the end game. Everyone has an appointed time and exactly the same as us. And that's what we desire to do. We desire to be yielded to the Lord, that he may lead us to just be in the right place so we can fulfill what is required of us, what the Lord expects of us in the end time as we head into the last days. Let's pray before we read the scripture. Father, we do pray for your mercy, your grace, your blessing upon your word, upon this evening, upon our fellowship, that you would help us, Lord, that, Father, you would lead us and guide us, that you would bless your people, that you would touch your people, that, Father, you would help us in all that would be said. Father, we desire it for your glory. We desire to be in the center of your perfect will. So bless your people, we pray. Touch your people. Anybody that would watch this down the way, we pray your blessing upon them as well, as we commit all into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. So our thought is, watch Persia. And our, maybe get onto it a bit this evening, is the spirit of Amalek. We'll see that from the Bible, that it's quite a principle that's good to understand. So our scripture, just speaking about Amalek, is from Exodus chapter 17. This is just as Israel was coming out of Egypt. So they've started the Exodus. And as soon as they get into the wilderness, they get attacked by the Amalekites. And the Amalekites come and attack them in the wilderness. And, you know, this is the story where Moses puts up his arms and his arms get tired. And Aaron and Hur have to come and lift up his arms. And then Joshua prevails over the Amalekites. But the Lord says something very interesting in Exodus 17 at the end of it. Once the Amalekites have been temporarily at least defeated, it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." So this must be something the Lord is very, very much against with the spirit of Amalek. The spirit, this anointing, this principality that had anointed these Amalekites to make them come and attack Israel. And we'll see how they attack them as we get into it. But the Lord has a big issue with any nation that allows the spirit. Verse 15, "And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi." So that's where Jehovah Nissi, "the Lord is my banner." No, the Lord is the one who goes before us into battle. Verse 16, "For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." That's very interesting. So the Lord in the end, he says, "I'm going to utterly put the remembrance of Amalek out from under heaven. I'm going to consume this Amalek." But then he says, "the Lord has sworn." And I mean, God doesn't swear very many times in the Bible, but he swears that he will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. So this shows us that the spirit of Amalek is going to raise up from generation to generation, bearing in mind that spirits never die. People die, cultures die, nations die, but spirits never die. They just linger around waiting for an opportunity to find fresh vessels to use to fulfill whatever their sinister agenda is. Paul says their wiles, the wiles of the devil. You know, so he has a purpose, and the Lord has sworn that he's going to be against the spirit of Amalek. He's going to have an issue with it whenever it rises up, and that's going to be from generation to generation. Now we see with what's happened in Israel, we see with this evil, this cruelty, this wickedness that has come forth from Gaza, this Hamas coming and attacking Israel December the 7th, you know, it's something to do with Israel. So it's always something, and when something happens in Israel, and now America sent its warships, Britain sent its warships, Biden was there yesterday, Rishi Sunak, British Prime Minister, was there today, the Chancellor of Germany was there. So things are moving, something's happening. And what does it mean? Well, the one thing we do know is Israel is God's timepiece. You know, so it's a good thing for us to look at this, because maybe this will just help us to see a little bit closer to where we are in time. We know we'll never know the hour, we'll never know the minute, we'll never know the second of the Lord's return, but we can know the season, because he said certain events, certain things, and Israel is a very prophetic timepiece for us. So Abraham says, if you want to see what day of the month it is, look on the calendar. If you want to see what the season is in the coming of the Lord, watch where Israel is setting. That's God's timepiece. So Israel is our timepiece, friends, and it's always interesting. You know, so we don't want to watch Israel so much this evening, but you wanted to watch Persia. That's what you wanted to see, how these things are coming together in our day. And what is happening? You know, the Lord guides and he orders his people, his elect, and God has his elect spiritually, which is his church. Church Israel, that's his bride through the seven church ages. But he also has his natural elect, which is Israel. They're his children after the flesh. That is God's chosen people as a nation. So that's the elect of God. And God places his people, whether you're in the bride or within Israel, he places us positionally. And he wants to get us in the right place at the right time so that he can fulfill all that he's spoken of concerning us. That's the desire that your father has of you. He wants to see you fulfill your potential. He wants to see his will be done in your life, because that's the best thing for you. That's the best thing for the people around you. And that's really what makes heaven rejoice, is when you fulfill the will of God that he's given you to do. So he wants to lead you and guide you, like he's been doing with Israel, natural, to the full possession of your inheritance. That's why we find Israel a nation again for the first time for over 1900 years. And you know, we find all of these things taking place. But just as much as the Lord orders his people to their possession, to the inheritance, Satan is always there to rise up, to oppose, to frustrate, to hinder. And more so, as the people get closer and closer to their possession, Satan is always looking for opportunity. When opportunity arises, he will attack, he'll murder, he'll destroy, as we saw with Hamas just 2 weeks ago. A little opening. You know, Israel just took their eye off the ball. The intelligence service was busy with internal problems. You know, there's all these internal divisions in Israel at the moment. And the enemy said, this is the time, because Satan will always attack when there's division. When the children of God are united, when the defense is up, Satan has very little opportunity. But Israel, in a point of weakness, a time of division, here the enemy saw breached the walls there of Gaza, came flooding through, 1,200 whatever terrorists anointed with the spirit of Amalek, as we'll see. And they came and slaughtered men, women, children, decapitating babies, you know, cutting babies out of women's wombs and so forth. Unspeakable things that you would think that people would be ashamed of themselves to be getting out there on the streets supporting Hamas. We were in England, so we could go into the airport on Sunday. I said to Brother Alex O'Kenny, I said, brother, is it possible we could pass through Birmingham City Centre? I'd never been there before. I was there with Daniel and Rachel, so I thought, get some photos, have a look around. We get down there. There's a big demonstration going on. Pro-Hamas. I said, I think the Lord wanted us to see this. My saints. Yay. You can't believe that people could be supporting such cruel, demonic activity. But people will be supporting, and newspapers supporting it, and news media supporting it. You can see the spirit of Antichrist rules this earth. That's all that I could see. Yeah, so once Satan finds this opening, what is he looking for? He finds vessels, he baptizes those vessels, and then now he finds an opportunity to express himself. And Jesus said, the devil came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's the manifestation of darkness when it comes into the lives of people, when it takes over nations and so forth. But at the same time is Jehovah. He wants to express himself, Christ. When his children are united, Christ will manifest himself, and great is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So we want to have a look at this a little bit. But now we're looking at Watch Persia, which is Iran. We know Persia and Iran, it's the modern day name of Persia is Iran. So we're going to just get into that a little bit. But to do this, we need to go back. You know, the Gentile ages, that Gentile dispensation was divided into four sections, and one of them was Persia. So we need to just go back and look at the history, because there's nothing new under the sun. We are living in harvest time. So what manifests previously in part, now in the end time, harvest time, under the latter rain, the quickening comes upon the seed to bring the full harvest, the full manifestation. So we'll see, in fact, we won't, by the grace of God, it'll be in the tribulation period, a lot of it, but the full manifestation of all of these things that have happened in part before. Nimrod building his tower, it was just in part, but you're going to see the Antichrist ruling the way Nimrod did. He's going to be the greater than Nimrod. And you find all of these things that have expressed themselves in a measure in the past will be manifest in the fullness of their power as we get to the climax of the ages. So we need to go back and just give ourselves a bit of a background on this. So Daniel's four beasts, this is in Daniel chapter 7. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. So the four winds, north, south, east, west, similar to our Revelation 7, the four winds being held back until the servants of our God have been sealed upon their forehead. So yeah, I don't know if it's, but it's a similar imagery. But verse 3, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. Wow. So whenever we see beasts coming out, whatever it is, dragons, beasts, whatever, coming out from the sea, we know it from the message, we know it from the Bible, This is a power rising up among the people, because waters always represent nations, multitudes of peoples, tongues, people. You find that in Revelation chapter 17. It tells you the waters that you saw are the nations, tongues, tribes, and people. So waters represent people. And when a beast is always a power, it's an ungodly power, this one. And we see that these powers, these beasts rise up from among the people, right? This will cause empires to form, and this will bring wars and revolutions and bloodshed, and conquering one kingdom, conquering another, is when these beasts start rising up, spirits among the people. And we'll know the Lord, when he chooses these different beasts, each of the beasts he uses to represent a kingdom or an empire, that beast had the characteristic of the empire that was coming. That's why he chose that particular beast, to show there's a power coming, an empire is going to rise up among the Gentiles, and these are the characteristics that it's going to have. And all of these are beastly powers. If you know your church ages, there's Zoan, which are the living creatures around the throne, that Zoe life. These are anointed by the life of God. But then there's Therion, these wild beasts that rise up in the book of Revelation. These are savage beasts. These are untamable beasts. You'll find it in your church ages if you listen to it. But here's the four beasts of Daniel. Now, the fourth one, we'll get a better image of him in another picture. But I like this picture because it shows. So Daniel, first, he sees a lion with two wings coming out of the sea. Then he sees a bear rising up with three ribs inside of its mouth, and then it lies down. And you'll read it if you read Daniel 7. Then he sees a leopard rising up with four heads and four wings, and the wings are plucked out and stuff. And then finally, there just comes this horrifying beast, which he just can't even describe. It's just, and it's just a strange, strange kind of a beast. And we know from new history, and we know it from Bible studies, the lion is Babylon. Yeah, that was the first one that rose up. And then the second one is the bear, now is Persia. That's the one we wanted to look at. First, it was the Medes that were conquered by the Persians, they united together, and that became Persia, which in our age is renamed to Iran. And we can see that's the character. It's a bear. Okay, we'll get into that in a few minutes there. So here's Babylon, Persia. The leopard is Greece. Alexander the Great, he came and conquered. When he died, his kingdom was divided into the hands of his four generals. That's why he has four heads now, the leopard, the four generals, broke into four different divisions. And then finally, Rome. This one that was there in the time of Christ, now and living in our day, just changed its form a bit. But this is the revival of the Roman Empire. That's the day we're living in. The same Roman Empire that crushed the Christians and the Jews in days gone by, that's the form of Roman Empire we're speaking about when you get to the tribulation period. Yeah, so these are the four beasts in the book of Daniel. And the one we're interested in is that bear. You know, we really want to have a look at this bear, which is Persia, because you want to watch Persia this evening. But if we bring it to Revelation 13, which is our day now, look what John speaks about this beast that rises up in Revelation chapter 13, which brings the mark of the beast, which no man can buy and sell. This is our day. He says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea." So there's going to come a power among the people in the last days again. "Having seven heads and 10 horns." You know, you'll find that in Revelation 17 and so forth. We don't have time for that. "And upon his heads, 10 crowns," and so forth. But if we have a look at the characteristics of this beast in verse 2, it says, "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were the feet of a bear, and his mouth the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his authority." So, you know, those empires of the past, the Babylonian Empire, the lion, the Persians, the bear, the leopard, which was Greece, all of these powers, which manifest in part in days gone by, all unite themselves together in one ungodly power that is released in our age. So you can see what the beast that rises up in our age has characteristics of all of these different beasts. So each of these beasts will manifest themselves. So we'll see that the bear, we already said, is Persia. So if you see in the end time that the bear is going to be there, we should expect to see Persia rising up a little bit and stuff. You know, we will get into that as we go. But you can see this beast that rises up at the end. It's quite a horrifying thing. And Brother Ram says that there's a spirit behind everything. If you go to football, there's a spirit behind it. There's spirits over cities. And sometimes you've got to break through that power and that principality before you can have a revival. You know, there's spirits behind music, spirits behind films. Yeah? This is a very, very spiritual world. So in the last days, all that was before, it just comes upon the earth. It just comes into a climax of the ages. And all of these things, like I say, that manifest in a measure before, we see them coming and manifest in their fullness. So let's have a look at Persia, this bear, a little bit. Okay, well, what is this bear? Why is he likened to a bear? So there's two stages in it. First, he's standing up, then he lies down, but he has these ribs in his mouth. And this is Daniel chapter 7, verse 5, if you read it. But the thing that really interests us is the characteristics of this bear. So a bear, I got it from the Bible dictionary, symbolizing the cruelty of the Persians, because bears are very cruel. You know, so you're going to find in this bear, this anointing, this power, the Lord's trying to give some sort of characteristic, and we'll understand. He says, this Persian spirit is very cruel. It's like a bear, and a bear is very, very cruel. And in the Bible dictionary, it speaks about the Persian leaders, Cambyses and others. They were notoriously cruel. In fact, their laws, you'll find it in Daniel chapter 6. When one man offended, remember those wise men of the counselors of the king who conspired against Daniel, put him in the lion's den. And then when they were found out that they were the ones, you know, that had misled the king, it wasn't only them that was thrown into the lion's den. It was all of their family, their wives and children as well. That was the law of the Persians. If one man offended, all of his kindred and sometimes even the entire neighborhood was destroyed where the man lived. So you can see this is a very serious spirit, this one here. This Persian spirit, when we see it coming up. Wow. You know, it's a very, like it says, notoriously cruel. And this starts sounding exactly like the spirit we've just seen manifest in the last 2 weeks coming out of Gaza with a name called Hamas. Notoriously cruel, you know, just to come and destroy a whole neighborhood. Go to a kibbutz, just kill everybody. Burn children, families together, torture them first. Friends, you never could believe that people could do that in the 21st century, but spirits never die. Now, at the top there says the bear symbolizing the cruelty of the Persians. And it gives us a scriptural reference. Now, I never knew that. So I went to read it today. Isaiah 13, 17, and 18, which is speaking about the cruelty of the Persians. Listen what the Lord says about the Persians and their cruelty through the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 13, verse 17. Behold, I will stir up the Medes. That's the Medes and Persians were one. So this is the spirit of Persia against them, against Israel. Their bows also shall dash the young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare the children. So you can see, yay, yay, yay. That's exactly what you've just seen in the last 2 weeks. Dashing people to pieces, shooting people in the street, burning people in their homes, cutting children out of an eight-month-old pregnant mother while she's alive, cutting her open and taking the baby out, not sparing children. You see them murdering children and taking children as hostages back to Gaza. You'll see, yeah, this is just a modern day manifestation of this spirit, of this bear, of the Persians, so cruel that they are. You know, because we won't be surprised to see where Hamas comes from as we get into it. So Hamas, it's not really Hamas. It should be said Hamas, because that's how the Hebrews and that's how the Arabs in that space. So the name Hamas, it's a very interesting name. You've seen this sent around recently. I checked it up and it's absolutely the truth. Let's have a look to see about Hamas as they fulfill this of the bear. So the name Hamas or Hamas, in Arabic, I put it down there, it's in white, you can get it from Wikipedia, it means zeal, strength, or bravery. That's why they used an acronym for the organization, but it sounds like Hamas, and they use Hamas because of strength and bravery. That's what they think. But in Hebrew, the same word, Hamas, means violence, wrong, cruelty, and injustice. You know, so it really depends on which way you're looking at things. So a lot of newspapers now and colleges in America and a lot of people out on the street in Dublin are looking at it from the Arabic point of view. They got the spirit of the world upon them. And they're saying, yeah, these guys are brave. Yeah, they're zealous. Yeah, they just want their liberty and stuff. But anybody that's anointed with the spirit of the word looks at the Save Hamas and says, this is cruelty. This is wrong. This is violence. This is injustice. Because that's the Hebrew meaning of that same word. So it just depends on through whose eyes we're looking at this. And that's why, friends, I'll say this. If you want to know what's going on in the news, never watch BBC. Never watch CNN. I don't watch those. Those are anti-Christ organizations. They are not fair. All the Jews go to Israel, they'll tell you that straight away. Never watch CNN especially. Never watch BBC. They are so anointed with anti-Semitism. They'll never be fair and balanced in their reporting. There's a lot of other things you can look. Even Fox News is better. Newsmax is good. Get onto CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network's the best because they rarely give you the biblical side of things. But me, I don't watch those guys because they lie through their teeth. They're anointed with that spirit of deception in the last days. And I would say to you, saints, be careful where you get your news from. No, be careful. If you get onto Apple News, if you've got an iPhone, that's not going to be such a good representation maybe of biblical truth. You know, so you've got to dig into these things and find a genuine news sources because we're living in a day of misinformation. We're living in a day of deception where there's an anointing that comes to condition people away from the word. And I've learned that now as I've gone. Even Google and them, when you search, they don't give you fair results anymore, like I said. You got to get to page 14 to find out what was on page 1 before. If you're looking for biblical things, they fill it with all of their things at the top. You just have to be careful where we get our news from. You know, so the world now, media, academia, they're all looking at this in a certain way. But the Lord's looking at it another way. And friends, I want to look at things the way that God looks at things. I want to look at things through the lens of the word. I want to have the mind of Christ. I don't want to look at these things the way that these organizations look at them. So they're really cruel and unjust. Yet, if you go to the Arabic world now, the guys are rejoicing on the streets. They're taking dead bodies of girls, strip them naked, parade and drag them down the street. People are dancing and singing and spitting on them and beating. Yeah. And you're not going to be surprised now to find out those same people singing and dancing and beating innocent bodies and tormenting children and that now they're hiding themselves in their homes because the bombs are raining down upon them. Can you see? You've got to be careful, friends. Don't play around with God's people. The Lord says, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. Now, this word Hamas is interesting because you'll find it quite a number of times in the Bible. And I want to put just one of them, Genesis 6:11. The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. That's the word Hamas. So in the days of Noah, the last days, the world got so full of violence. And that's when the Lord said, the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence, with Hamas. You know, so the world just became so violent and unjust that the Lord said, it grieves me that I've made men. So whenever the Lord sees that this manifestation of a spirit, God is not happy, friends. The Lord is not happy with this particular power and principality. He's not. That's why he says, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And in the end, the Lord took Noah and his family, put them in the ark, and just destroyed everything else that was there because it had been so overtaken by this particular kind of a spirit, this violent, violent, cruel spirit that we see people celebrating today. Now, let's get into current events a bit. Hamas and Hezbollah. Now, you'll find this on the news a lot, and I thought it's good maybe just to get people up to speed if you don't understand who these people are. So Hamas is these militants, terrorists that just came out of Gaza. So Hamas is based in Gaza. Now, Gaza is the land of the Philistines from the Bible. That's where Gaza was, where Samson was, as we'll see. So this is the Philistines. That was their enclave, people that always fought against the children of God. That David had to come with his sling and wipe out those inhabitants of the Philistia, the land of the Philistia. So Hamas is in Gaza. I'll show you a map just now. But Hamas has a big brother, far more dangerous, which is in Lebanon to the north of Israel, called Hezbollah. Now, Hezbollah means the party of Allah. They'll tell you on the news it's the party of God. No, it's not the party of God. It's the party of Allah. There's a big difference. So this is the two we wanted to have a look at as we look at and bring in ourselves to watch Persia, Hamas and Hezbollah. So the picture on the top left, there's Gaza. And this is where these attacks came from now through Hamas. And you can see at the bottom, they've got a lot of different types of rockets and missiles. And that's why they're shooting all these missiles. And these people that are parading on the streets don't mind about a terrorist organization, Hamas, indiscriminately shooting rockets into residential areas where there's Arabs and Jews. Other day, the Hamas shot a rocket and then hit a mosque in Jerusalem. They blew up a mosque. I mean, it's like, if Israel went, there was this thing about this hospital yesterday, which has proved that it wasn't Israel. But just one thing, where one thing goes astray and civilians are killed, which is a sad thing, but the world is up in arms. But these Hamas guys, they shoot these rockets into residential areas, into town centers, and so forth. And the silence is deafening from a lot of these people. Friends, I don't understand it. I think I just want my voice to be out there that I do not understand this world. I don't. And I'm glad I don't understand it, because you've got to be in the spirit of this world to understand it. And I don't want to be in the spirit of this world. I don't want to be in the spirit of this age. But the big brother of Hamas, that picture on the right there, is Hezbollah. You'll see that up in Lebanon, just to the north of Israel. Just beyond the mountains of Israel there. If you remember, Gog and Magog will come down on the mountains of Israel. There's Mount Hermon up there. And Hezbollah is a very formidable foe. And they say they've got up to whatever, 150,000 rockets, not just little rockets like Hamas. They've got serious rockets. They show the range of their rockets that can hit almost the whole of Israel. Hamas doesn't have such big rockets. It can't go quite as far, not as accurate. Israel's Iron Dome sorts out most of them. But if Hezbollah now get involved in this war with their arsenal and their huge army that they have, I put a picture of the Hezbollah army down there, that is now a different kettle of fish. And this is why there's a lot of nervousness at the moment. People wondering, these politicians are wondering, is Hezbollah going to get involved? Are they going to join, bring a northern front? Because then this becomes an entire different kind of a struggle. Now, that's why the big question comes in, and you'll find it in the news now. The fear of escalation. Will Iran help Hamas? Yeah, and then down at the bottom, the newspaper, Iran warns of consequences if Israel's bombing of Gaza not stops. So what has Iran got to do with all of this? Well, you'll find out that Hamas and Hezbollah are but the children of Iran. They are proxy groups. They are 100% under the headship of Iran. The other day I was showing it to some saints that, you know, Satan's very good in placing things strategically. He placed the disciples of the Prince of Persia, which is Hamas, right there in Gaza, right almost in Israel. And then he places Hezbollah, the other big disciple of Iran, puts him in charge there in Lebanon. And Israel is surrounded by fearsome foes, and all they desire to do is destroy them. Yeah, Israel is really, if it wasn't for the Lord withholding those four winds, Israel could find itself very, very quickly in a lot of trouble here. And now it shows there how this could play out. Can you see those ships coming there? You'll understand now why. Sorry, that's the next one, I think. Okay, I'll get to it. I put it a bit out of order, but you'll understand why Britain and America have sent their warships. America sent its biggest aircraft carrier fleet group, attack group, and their second biggest, and they've sent them to sit right off the coast of Israel at the moment. And Britain has sent its best warships there as well to support Israel, because everybody can see that it's very easy for Persia, the Prince of Persia, to get involved here. And that then becomes something that leads us to Armageddon. I mean, that's something that can really escalate very, very much. So Israel is surrounded by these kinds of armies, and Iran is already starting to threaten them. So here we see a map, and there's the leader of Hamas sitting with his big daddy there, the Ayatollah, the Prince of Persia. You know, he's gone there to speak to him and ask for some more money and some more weapons and get fresh instructions of what he's supposed to do. And Iran is not that far away. And it shows on that map, this dotted line shows the distance of Iranian missiles. So they've got a serious amount of missiles as well. You know, so you find Hamas in Gaza. You see it there, Gaza, Hamas. You find Lebanon, Hezbollah. And you find Iran itself. They have got a serious sword which they can use against Israel if the time comes. And that's why everybody's posturing now. And Iran has just put this in the Tehran Times, just one wrong move. And can you see all these little red pins there in Israel? These are all places where they say they will target, you know, with their missiles. So they've already said to Israel. And there's Eric Stackelbeck, very good if you watch him, The Watchman, you get him on YouTube. He gives all the up-to-date news. Iran threatens an Israel earthquake. You know, so you can see that's why the world is shaking because of these things, because people can see how quickly this could. US sends warships and jets to help Israel. America's $18 billion showdown, yeah, show of force. There's Britain, major support for Israel, sending their ships. There's a big power play going on now. And the reason I put that picture with that girl on is that is the girl who was at that concert. She's a German. She's got Jewish blood. They took her, whatever they did to her, they stripped her, beat her unconscious, killed her, whatever, dragged her body through the streets of Gaza, and people were spitting on her and dancing and singing. And you, in a civilized world, so-called, like we're living in today. And it's incredible how silent the media have been about those things. They've outraged for about a day, and then all of a sudden, Israel's the big enemy again, despite all of these things. So I left the picture there. I covered her a little bit with some places where she needed to be covered because she didn't dress very well. She obviously wasn't a religious observant Jew by the way that she dressed. But this is why this big uneasiness at the moment, saying, where is this going to go to? It's not just Hamas. Hamas was just a little manifestation, found a little opportunity, but we can see the spirit behind Iran. We can see the spirit behind Persia, Iran, you know, Hezbollah, Hamas. By the way, when they just got a small opportunity 2 weeks ago, look what they did. Wow. You will understand why Israel, its greatest nightmare, and Benjamin Netanyahu came back into politics a few years back, got power again. For one reason, he said, is to ensure that Iran doesn't get nuclear weapons. Because when you put this spirit, people like this, with nuclear weapons, where are you going to end up? They can't afford it, Israel. Now, the word Palestine comes from the word Philistine. And there's Gaza. There's Gath. There's Ashdod. There's Gaza down here. Yeah. But this was the land of the Philistines. You see, and there's Gaza down there. So you can see that some, maybe people change, but maybe spirits linger around in areas. Yeah, so the Israel doesn't like to be called the Palestine because Palestine comes from the word Philistine. And now we know what happened. That Gaza Strip, especially that portion around Gaza, is historically, it was the Philistines there. And Goliath was from Gath. Remember, Goliath of Gath. Samson was in Gaza. We know that. And from the book of Judges, we can see, look at Samson, how the people of Gaza treated their captives. What does the Bible say? They put out his eyes. They bound him with fetters of brass, turned him into a slave, made him a public spectacle, made him parade around and around. Anyone laughing at him, they made him a big public spectacle. And then finally, what did they do? They brought him into the temple of their God. Yeah? And they said, let us make sport. Let's make fun of him. You can imagine what they were saying, spitting on him, whatever they were doing. Let's call for Samson, it says in Judges chapter 16, 25, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prisoners, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. But friends, it never ended well for Gaza, did it? Did not the whole building come down and destroy all of the military generals and all of the guys that had plotted and done that to Samson and to Israel? Did it end up well for them? It didn't end up well for them. Because this is the children of God that you're playing around with. And it says that in his death, Samson killed more than he did all the days of his life. And in that great collapse in Gaza, now all those military generals, you go and listen to the messages on once more, Lord, and one just once more. And the prophet speaks of all those generals coming and, you know, and sitting up there with their painted face ladies and so forth. And then Samson, that super anointing comes upon him. Bam! He destroys all those military people in Gaza. You know, you can see that these things really do mean something, but spirits never, never die. So that's Hamas, that's Hezbollah, that's the so-called Palestinians, the Philistines there. So we need to look now just a little bit at the prince of Persia, because we're going to watch Persia. So you want to just tie this together. We see Hezbollah, Hamas are but manifestations of Iran itself, Persia itself. Now, the interesting thing, I was speaking about this a bit in England on the weekend, that in the last days, it's a revival of ancient empires. We find it's a revival of the Roman Empire. That's where the Antichrist will come out. There's a revival of so many pagan things. We saw it in the fashions. We saw it in all these things in these weeks gone by. Now, there's this return of the gods, the revival of the gods, these ancient empires rising up again, these beasts now in the end time, rising up among the people. And in the end time, we see the restoration of Israel. This empire that was there from David and Solomon and on, we find it wasn't there for almost 2,000 years. And we find the ancient empire now, Israel, comes on the scene again. And when the empire of Israel comes on the scene, Satan's not going to leave it like that. He's going to start resurrecting Israel's ancient foes, those ancient anointings and demon powers. He starts bringing them against Israel again. As I said, there's nothing new under the sun in the time of this restoration. So when the Lord is bringing Israel back into their homeland now, wanting to bring them to their full possession so that Christ reveals himself to them, we're not going to be surprised to find that Satan is on the move as well. And we find the prince of Persia rises up again in the last days. So who is this prince of Persia? We find him in the book of Daniel. He was a very fearsome spirit, the prince of Persia. So Daniel seeking the Lord in Daniel chapter 10, 21 days, eating just meager food, wanted to seek understanding about a vision that he's had, about the time he's living in. And Gabriel comes to him and says, "Then said he to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you did set your heart to understand and to chasten yourself before your God, your words were heard and I've come for your words." But why did he delay for 21 days? "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. So, yeah, I don't know if it means literally they wrestle. I don't think it means that. It means, you know, in order for the Lord's purposes to be fulfilled, as we'll see, this is the end of Israel's 70 years in captivity. It's time for them to go back to the land of promise. It's time for a little exodus to take place. And Daniel is praying about that. You know, Babylon's destroyed the Jerusalem, destroyed Israel. Now Persia's come on the scene. Cyrus comes on the scene at first. You know, he issues some good declarations. But then there rises up a spirit called the Prince of Persia. And he starts to withstand the purposes of God, to withstand whatever it is that the Lord is wanting to achieve at that time. So it always is going to be like it. When Israel comes on the scene, don't be surprised to find the Prince of Persia comes on the scene again. And that's exactly what we see. This manifestation in part that we see now in Israel is exactly the manifestation of the Prince of Persia. And he's such a serious stronghold, such a powerful principality that Gabriel says, he withstood me 1 and 20 days, but Michael, it's one of the chief, should say the chief prince, came to help me. So it takes Michael to rise up, which is Christ, to rise up now to come and bring deliverance for the children of Israel. So you can see there's a very powerful spirit to come and oppose Israel whenever they start coming back into their land. We'll see it possibly next time a little bit more in detail. And Paul picks this up as well, and he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, the rulers of the darkness of this world. So this prince of Persia is a principality. It's a ruler of the darkness of this world. And it has the characteristics of a bear, we saw. It's fierce and it's cruel. It doesn't compromise. If you go into Iran with a Bible, you're in a lot of trouble. You know, if you represent the true God and you represent his word like Israel, you're in a lot of trouble. If they just get power, they're going to just crush you out cruelly. It's not justice. This is what they stand for. And they're not scared. They're not ashamed how they do it either. You know, so we see these powers and these principalities rising up in the last time. So this was the time of Israel's restoration. I just put that black, that's the prince of Persia say. But Daniel's praying here now. It's time for Israel to go back. The appointed time is drawing near for their restoration back to their land. Under Ezra, there's Ezra coming, taking the people back to Jerusalem. There's Nehemiah rebuilding the walls and rebuilding the city. But there's a spirit rises up in the day that's not happy with what's taken place. It doesn't like to see Israel back in the homeland. It doesn't like to see them building their economy and building all of their technology sector and all of that. And this prince of Persia now starts plotting his malice, his wiles, and he places his children in Lebanon and in Gaza, and he's just looking for opportunity to express himself. And he got a small opportunity the other week. And there was the most Jews that have been killed in a single day since the Holocaust. It was a serious, serious manifestation of evil that took place. It was a powerful, powerful thing. So always at these junctions in time, we find this prince of Persia rises up. And we're living at exactly that junction once again. We'll get into a little bit more down the way when we speak of it next time. So here we find the first time when Israel's coming out in an exodus, as in Egypt. And now it's time for them to go back to the land of their fathers, time for them to go back to the land promised to Moses. What rises up? There rises up a Pharaoh that knows not Joseph. There comes a spirit in the land, and this spirit is so cruel. What does it do? It takes the babies, the Hebrew children, and throws them in the river. And then takes the children of Israel and puts them in with rigor and hard bondage in the mud pits. You know, you can see these spirits that rise up and might be given different names in different times, but you'll find whenever Israel, it's time for them to get back in their land or to get back to their inheritance, you will find Satan will always bring this kind of power, this kind of demonic force against the children of God. But how did it end up for Egypt? They ended up having their civilization destroyed, their cities destroyed, because God has a big issue with this spirit. He says, the Lord has an issue with Amalek in every generation. Whenever something rises up against the children of Israel, that spirit of anti-Semitism, and it catches that beast comes now into the midst of the people, into the waters, and rises up and starts to manifest itself, the Lord has a serious issue, saints. And the plagues came down. We'll see it next time when you get onto the trumpets. And then, you know, Pharaoh's whole kingdom, his firstborn died and all that. But you think of how cruel that power was that was ruling over the Jews. And friends, spirits never die, like we say. They just wait, looking for opportunity to express themselves. It was vicious and evil and cruel during the time of the Exodus. Now we're living in the last Exodus, which is the rapture. And we see Israel coming back, as we should expect to see these manifestations, these powers coming back in our day. And that's why the Lord calls this the spirit of Amalek. Now, this is the real, real spirit that the Lord is grieved with. As soon as Israel, like we say, gets out in the Exodus on the way to the land of promise, this spirit rises up. First in Egypt, and now it follows them into the wilderness, the spirit of Amalek. So who is Amalek? Exodus 17, verse 8, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. We've already seen this. Moses putting up his hands. Joshua has to fight the battle. But how did they fight? What kind of warfare did Amalek fight when they came against Israel? Did they come and put the army straight in front of Joshua and say, let's fight fair? No. It says it in Deuteronomy 20:25. I put it another translation just to put it in clearer English, Bible in basic English. The Lord says in Deuteronomy 25:17, he says, remember what Amalek did to you, by the way, when you had come forth out of Egypt in the Exodus, how he met you in the way. He made an attack on you when you were tired and without strength, cutting off all the feeble ones at the end of your line, and the fear of God was not in him. You see how he fights? He doesn't come and fight fair. He comes and kills the women and the children and the old people, the ones that are feeble, stragglers at the back of the Exodus. Here comes the spirit of Amalek and bam, pounces on those people. Is that not what the same spirit of Amalek did 2 weeks ago? Did it not go and prey on the helpless, and it didn't go and fight against the military in a fair battle? It went and it killed women and children and families and grandmothers and grandfathers and murdered how many? 80 babies. So many of them beheaded those babies. And then the people say, it never happened. And one newspaper in Britain, the Telegraph, went and put pictures of those babies on the internet. I went to look at one of them. They said, because we have to, he said, it's heartbreaking to us to have to do this, but because the spirit of Amalek is so strong in this age, it'll even deny that these things took place, we're going to have to put pictures on the internet. And they did it to show those Amalekites, going now, Hamas, going to those cribs of babies and spraying them with machine gun bullets. And then bringing families together, children and all that, and then burning them to death. While they're all alive. Friends, it's a serious day we're living in. And shame on the press and that for what they, how they wanted to portray these things. It's better to look it through the lens of the word. And the Lord had a big issue with them because of the way they fought. Can you see? This spirit is cruel. It's like that Persian spirit. It's the same spirit in the end, we'll see. You know, it's cruel. It's unjust the way that it fights. Wow. That's why the Lord said, Exodus 17:14, write this in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. The Lord says, I have an issue with this principality. And so Moses builds the altar. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord will fight our battles. He says, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. So it doesn't matter which generation this manifests, this spirit manifests in. It may come in a different name. It may come in the form of Hamas. It may come in the form of Hezbollah. It may come in the form of Iran. It may come in the form of CNN, whatever that it is. You know, the spirit of the Amalekites, this anointing, this spirit that rises among the people. The Lord says, I have an issue with this. I will make war with Amalek from generation to generation. So you can really see, friends, I don't think children of God should play around with these things at all. Now, when's the next time we find the Amalekites? Haman, Haman, in the book of Esther. Hey, we see the spirit of Amalek rising again. Where was Haman? Where was Esther? They were in Persia. That's where they were. They were in Shushan, the palace, the capital of Persia. And we find the spirit of Amalek came once again. Israel's just gone back now. It's now a few years after Daniel. Israel's just gone back to the promised land. And now there rises a spirit in Persia, which now wants to destroy, genocide, men, women, and children, destroy the entire race of Israel in their homes. My, that's what I'm saying. Haman and Hamas are very similar in spelling and very similar in the anointing, the same anointing that's upon them. But who was this Haman? After these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him? Now there, go and have a look in your go and do your study. Agagite. Where does Agag come from? The stock or family of Agag, the common name of the kings of Amalek. Aha. So we're not surprised to find that Haman is an Amalekite. And the Lord knows in every generation, I'm going to have issues with these Amalekites against my people. And they're not going to fight fair. They're going to use cunning and cruelty and injustice. Yet what will their people be saying? Heroes, valor, brave. That's what Hamas means in Arabic. But in Hebrew, in the eyes of God, it's cowardly, it's cruel, it's wicked, it's unjust. Okay, as we come to a close, so the spirit rises up. And what when he takes power, when this Amalekite now, Haman, takes power, he gets the king's seal and he sends out a letter. What is in his heart to do? He sends out a letter. The letters were sent by post into the king's province, into the whole kingdom, to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women in one day. Wait. Aha. Friends, can you see spirits never die? Can you see that that spirit of Haman is in Gaza? That spirit of Haman, we could take Ayatollah, whatever his name is there in Persia, the prince of Persia there now, and we could call him Haman. He's got the same spirit of the Amalekites upon him. The same thing to cause to perish young, old, little children, women, doesn't it, whatever they are, that you slay them in one day. Hey, that's genocide. That sounds to us like the Holocaust, like we'll get onto it next week, because we're going to skip Hitler today, because Hitler was the ultimate manifestation of Haman. He was the ultimate manifestation of the spirit of Amalek. We'll look at that next time under the trumpets, which will help us as we prepare for Auschwitz. But we need to skip him today because he did enough wickedness to have his own Bible study. We'll give him a little bit of extra time. So can you see where this is all coming to and where it's coming from, saints? Can you see how these things come through the Bible? So we bring it now to Iran. So we're not surprised now to see in the last days the prince of Persia rising up. I'll prove it to you just now with the scripture that the prince of Persia comes on the scene in the last days against Israel again. That same prince of Persia that withstood Daniel. The same prince of Persia that withstood. We're not surprised to find that same spirit of the Amalekites rises up in Persia the way that it did in the book of Esther. Esther being a prophetic book. Esther being the bride. Yeah, this morning you can take all your shadows. It's a type of our age. That same spirit rising up. And it always comes during the time of Israel's restoration. Now in the last days, you find this bear rises up among the waters, a spirit among the people in Iran once again. Now, it wasn't always like this. It's a last days phenomena. We looked at this once before in a study on Russia, that in 1946, Iran, which Persia, was a great friend of the West and a friend of Israel. But in 1979, the spirit arose, the spirit of the bear, the spirit of Persia, the ancient Persian Empire rose, the spirit rose among the people. There was the Islamic Revolution in 1979. They overthrew the Shah, he had to flee, and now it became as an Islamic nation under the Ayatollah. And now the prince of Persia had put everything in position for the end time. At the time when Israel is possessing its inheritance, prospering there in the promised land, you're not surprised to find this manifestation coming now. The spirit of Amalek rising up. Here comes a Pharaoh, big time, that knows not Joseph. And what does he stand for? Iran may have other objectives. But Iran's main ambition is the destruction of the Jewish state. That's the main objective they have. Why? Because they've got the spirit of Amalek on them. They've got the spirit of Haman, Haman on them. The prince of Persia has taken control. That's the power and the principality that's expressing itself. So if Hamas and Hezbollah are but offshoots, or just but the offspring of Iran, we're not surprised to find out that what is their aim and objective? The destruction of the Jewish state. And they'll do it in any way that they can, and the cruelty, the crueler, the better. What does the Ayatollah tell us? Allah appoints us as instruments of accomplishing those events which must first be before the day of God can come. So he says, Allah has appointed us, given us this kingdom, these weapons, this oil, this influence, this money, so we can accomplish events to bring about the return of their Messiah. What are the things he needs to do? To create a fertile environment for the arrival of the Mahdi, their Messiah, to take over the Islamic world and to annihilate Israel. So those are the conditions they've got to fulfill so they can do the will of Allah. They need to take over the Islamic world. That's why they're fighting against Saudi Arabia and they're against so many other Arab nations. Those nations are siding with Israel, a lot of them. And their ultimate ambition as ever is to unite Israel, is to annihilate Israel. And that's why it's fierce sometimes, friends. You can see where these things come from. That little manifestation from Gaza the other day, imagine if that spirit had a full opening to express itself. They would absolutely annihilate Israel, men, women, children, in a day, just like Haman wanted to do. If it wasn't that those angels are holding back the four winds saying, wait, we need to seal the servants of our God, the 144,000 first. Okay, so let's just tie it back as we finish to our Watch Russia. Because this prince of Persia, he realizes, and the Bible shows us, he's not going to be on his own. Now, this is the interesting point now, because Iran is threatening to use a big stick and hit Israel now. But according to prophecy, Ezekiel 38, when we did our Watch Russia, Iran, Persia's got to be together with Magog and got to be together with Gomer. Remember when we did our Watch Russia? Let's just remind you quickly, Ezekiel 38, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the Ogog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. We looked at that. That was Russia. And who is he with? Verse 5, with Persia, which is Iran. And verse 6, with Gomer. And who are these? These are Iran, Turkey, and Russia, who are already making stronger and stronger alliances. Iran is the one giving the drones and all of that to Russia at the moment so they can go and bomb Ukraine. And there's Hamas down at the bottom, Hezbollah. You can see Iran now is uniting together, but they've got to come under the headship of Russia in the end time. That's the prince, the Gog that comes. Gog, the ruler of Magog. He rises on the scene, the Tsar that comes on the scene. And once you see this alliance coming together, this is the alliance, as we saw in Watch Russia, that will come against Israel in the last days. So when the prophet speaks about the fulfillment of a vision, right people in the right place at the right time. You know, the vision's not far from being fulfilled. Things can move quickly, but we don't know how far this can go. But the main event is not Iran coming by itself, not the Prince of Persia by himself. He's going to use his proxy groups, and America and Britain are there maybe to stop him from his ambitions. But this is but birth pains. These are but moving things, the next stage, so that these end time players form their unions, get closer together, so they can fulfill their ultimate destiny. And what does our friend Gog say about what's happening in Gaza? Putin is concerned over the catastrophic civilian deaths in the Israel-Gaza war. Now, I hardly think that he's a man who should be speaking about civilian deaths at this time. You know, with the war in Ukraine, it's just the absolute height of hypocrisy. You know, for someone to come and say, Israel must be careful. You know, we don't like these deaths there in Gaza. Yes, no one wants civilian deaths. But what about all of these deaths that are happening in Ukraine? You see, friends, it's a very hypocritical world. These are birth pains, and they just keep getting stronger. So the final thing that happens is what? Like I said, at the end, Daniel 12, speaking of the tribulation period, and at that time shall Michael stand up. Michael always has to come when the prince of Persia comes on the scene. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. So Michael, he's the real prince of Israel. He's the one who stands for his people. So friends, we're in an epic struggle at the moment. The Prince of Persia, we see Gog and his nations is uniting. But we see Christ, we see Michael standing up, and every single one that's written in the book, firstly, the Gentiles, because we had Michael stand up, Revelation 10, verse 1, coming with an open book, giving us the open book, so we must eat the book. That's our commission. John, eat the book, so we can prophesy to kingdoms, nations, tongues, and peoples to fulfill our commission. And then Michael goes across now to protect natural Israel, because there's a lot of trouble coming their way. There shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation even to that time. So that's when those winds are let loose and all of these powers come together. And we find Israel finds herself in the time of Jacob's trouble. But Jesus told us, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing nigh. So friends, we're living in an epic time, the climax of the ages. We see the pieces all coming together. And I think we just need to look up. The prophet says, just a little, take a bit of a closer step, walk with him a little bit closer, because our redemption is drawing near. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your blood. We thank you for Christ, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy that anointed our eyes with eyesel that we might see. Father, we just see this world, how it's falling apart. We see the cruelty and injustice. We see, Lord, the insanity. We just see in every aspect, in politics, we see it falling apart. We see strife and trouble among the nations. We saw all of these things. But you said, Lord, when you see these things, wars and rumors of wars, fear not, for the end is not yet. So, Lord, we see these birth pains, Lord, and we just want to finish the work that you sent us to do. So may you bless your people, anoint your people, quicken your people, and help us, Lord Jesus, to walk with you. For we must walk and work while it is yet day. Because you know that night is coming when no man can work. So grant us mercy, grant us grace, renew our strength, and bless and touch your people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. God bless you this evening. Any questions, any thoughts before we finish off there, saints? Anybody like to contribute or any questions? Anybody at all? I'm sure there must be some questions.
Yes, you.
Jess.
Hello. You were talking about the trumpets. Like, I may be slightly going ahead of you here, but like, I was just going to ask the question. Will those Jews nowadays, will the Lord give them white robes? Like, it is the Jews, they'll get white robes.
Yes, that's true. Yes, I thought of the same thing. That's actually under the seals. The fifth seal is those that were slain, yeah, by Hitler, Mussolini. And also now, I mean, anybody who slays the Jews, like Brabham says, it says those godly Jews, those ones that are walking faithful to what they believe. And they were slain by Hitler and they're taken there. Every one of them will receive white robes. And yes. Now, look, I don't know about those ones that were desecrating the Sabbath. And that was a holy day. Imagine, that was a very sacred day that they attacked on. It was the 50th anniversary of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. There was the last war. But that was a very important day. And what were those 260 young people doing out there near Gaza having an all-night rave? You know, I don't know about that. You know, I don't know how far that grace extends, you know, those ones that were in the kibbutz and those ones that were observing the Sabbath and those ones that were, you know, walking in the light, which they knew, absolutely. I 100% believe all of them will be given white robes, because the brother says the fifth seal, which is the souls under the altar crying out, how long? Because their blood had been shed just because they were Jews. He says that represents the Jews right from Christ right to the end, you know, right to the rapture. All the Jews that are slaughtered, though they were faithful during the time of the Gentile dispensation, the church ages, will be given white robes because they lived faithful to what they believed. So yes, bro, 100%. I thought of the same thing. But like I say, how far it extends to people that were just really, you know, living a real ungodly life, I don't know. I don't think so, bro. I think the same judgment will come upon them that'll come upon ungodly Gentiles. You know, have to stand one day and give an account for the deeds done in the body. But in the kibbutzes and all of those, you know, those real observant Jews, yes, bro, I 100% believe they all receive white robes, which is eternal life. And just to say, like on the trumpets, you find, we'll see it next time, the prophet says a trumpet is political strife. It's wars and those things. It's like a trumpet blow. So there's just general trumpets which blow, which like there's strife among the nations. But then there's the feast of trumpets, which is when the trumpets blow in relation to Israel, to bring Israel back to their land, and so that Christ can reveal himself to Israel. We'll see that next time. So these are just general trumpets. They're like a trumpet sounded in Iran in 1979, a revolution, wars and strife, political turmoil and overthrow of a government, another power rises up, but it's not the trumpets. You know, there's the seven last trumpets, which are very specific. It's a feast for Israel. And we'll get into that by the grace of God. Anything else? But Jess, you okay on that, bro?
Thank you. That's it. Thank you.
Thanks, bro. It was a good question, bro. I had thought of the same one. Anybody else sense before we finish? We used to have nice long fellowships after, but woe is us. We've got far from that now. Maybe it's just not the right topic. Maybe people are just thinking to say, yay, this is a hard one. Who can bear it? Yeah. Okay. If there's no other questions, sense, if you do have questions, you can quite freely please send them to me. Next week, by the grace of God, we'll just take that missing one that we didn't have a look at today. We'll have a look at which is under the sixth trumpet. We'll have a look at Hitler and the Jews. Because next week, Friday, we go to Czech Republic. And then on the Monday, we go to Poland, to Auschwitz, Birkenau. So I think it's really good to see how these things fit in. Brother Greg, are you redeeming us here, brother? God bless you.
Yeah, I hear your call, you know.
Yes, you heard my call.
Interesting, because you know what? I just find out, because my girls obviously go to school, so I just find out what's Irish call, you know? And I had no idea. It's like the, you know, they have like the Irish national anthem or something, you know. Yes. I hear your call, you know. I'm at work, so I was just about to escape when I heard you saying, as like, I just tell them quickly something, can I escape the office? The question is, I don't know if it's kind of, I hope it doesn't come across a bit political or whatever, because that's what I wouldn't like. But, you know, they talk about now all this, you know, like you're saying, the news, to be honest, I just hear, listen, is less possible, to be honest. I'm just, because you never know which news saying this, but you know, you can hear some things here and there, right? What you think it's the next move that, and again, I don't know if it's a political, like the Netanyahu will do, because they're saying there's troops coming in and what's there, you know, the US tried to, you know, advise him not to do it and things like that. And if it's a political question, forgive me, brother. I'm just thinking, what you think will happen for the next, you know, whatever, week, month, or whatever. Like, what's happened, do you think?
Well, I think it's a good point you raised about political, because none of the things which we've said tonight, you want them to be political, because a political spirit is an evil spirit. I mean, we have no part to play in politics. We're speaking from prophecy. You know, so we just try to rightly divide the word and say, okay, which side is anointed by the Spirit of God fulfilling the purpose of God, and who is fulfilling the negative part? The prophet says Pharaoh never knew that he was fulfilling the part of Pharaoh. Judas never knew he was fulfilling the part of Judas, but somebody has to fulfill it, unfortunately. And even if I can just say this, just before I get your question, even among the Palestinians, there's a lot of Palestinian Christians. There's some very good Palestinians. Even in Gaza, there's people, innocent people caught up in the midst of this. That's why Hamas are so evil, because they hide behind innocent people. Doesn't mean all the people in Gaza support Hamas. When they won power in 2006 or whatever, Hamas, they only got 26% of the vote, but that was the most. And they got power, and then they canceled all elections. There's never been an election since. So, I mean, there were 74% of people never voted for them. And I'm sure if they could speak honestly from their hearts, there's a lot of people in Gaza who would so much wish. They don't want Israel to rule them, of course not. But they'd want some moderate leadership, you know, who really care about developing their water system, electricity. Now they get all the electricity from Israel, all the water from Israel, because Hamas gets all the money, and all they use it for is to make this tunnel network and for their rockets and missiles and military, and the people suffer. And Qatar and those countries have to pour a lot of money in for them just to survive in Gaza. And Israel hasn't been there since 2006 when they totally withdrew. And then unfortunately, in the vacuum, here came Hamas. So, you know, there's a lot of innocent people involved. I'm sure I know very good Muslim people. Some Muslim people are very fine people, very good people. I was at school with Muslims. They were very good friends of mine. Yeah, you know, just like you can be good friends with good Hindu people and all. So this is nothing to do with ethnic classes or races. It's not that. It's we speak in spiritual principles here. Yeah, you know, when you find people rejoicing and dancing over dead children, it doesn't matter if they're white, black, green, whatever kind of, that's wrong. I mean, the spirit that's on you is wrong. What's wrong with you? And maybe it's because of their upbringing, their religion teaches them those things, they taught them when they're very young. Now you must kill the Jews, whatever that it is, but it's evil that no matter who that it is. So we're not speaking against Palestinian people, because there's some very good Palestinian people. Not speaking about, you know, all the people in Gaza that they're wrong, because there's a lot of people there, I'm sure, that just want, like you and I, to have a peaceful life, to love their children, to be able to go on a holiday, you know, to be able to build a house. That's all they want. But there's these tyrants now that are ruling over them with an iron fist. And cruel. If they're that cruel to Israel, then why is there no opposition? Because they slaughtered all the opposition, Hamas, in Gaza as well when they took power. They killed their own people, you know, the PLO and all those other, the Palestinian Authority and that. You know, so it's very good that you brought that up, is that this is not political what we say. This is nothing to do with politics. We're looking at the spirits behind, because politics is of the devil. And you can see it when a nation is not ruled by the Spirit of God. Look what it can do to other nations. When people are governed by ungodly people, look down right from Egypt, they oppress and subjugate other people. Yeah, they even slaughter their children and so forth. And it's sad. That's when it says, you know, that God made man and man made slaves. God wants everybody to be under the headship of the word. God wants, you know, the greatest thing was to have a king and a prophet in the land so that the prophet could be in touch with the Lord and the king could rule over the people and they would work together. That was a great, great system. But unfortunately, this is a very, very unjust world that we're living in. So, you know, it's good that you said that. Now, is Israel always right? Absolutely not. But one thing about Israel, if an Israeli soldier kills civilians, he goes to court and is jailed. It's not their policy, you see. Doesn't mean that all Israelis have a good heart. They don't. There's good and bad, and there's three kinds of believers, good and bad in every nation. There's atheist Jews. I mean, yeah, some of the worst people in the world are Jews, you know, they for what they stand for and what they believe. You know, some of them are very, very bad. But the nation of Israel, the genuine Jew, you and I as the bride, you go there, there's an affinity. You know, you just love them because they, you know, those Orthodox, those kinds of people, you know, they're the children of God naturally, like you and I, the children of God spiritually, and you feel that when you're there. Doesn't mean we agree with all their policies. Doesn't mean we agree with everything. Netanyahu's government is against Christianity. You know, you find a lot of Jewish Christians don't vote for Netanyahu because his coalition is made up of these ultra Orthodox Jews who want to stop evangelism and all this kind of stuff in Israel. You know, so he's a politician. He has to get the backing that he can. Doesn't mean that he's always right, but I believe Netanyahu is, like Brother George Martin preached when he first got in power, Netanyahu means a gift of God. He's a gift of God. God put him in. He's a man. He was appointed for such a time as this. He's the right man to be on the scene at a time like this. He absolutely. And I was listening just today when they were speaking to one of his previous advisors that used to be in charge of Israeli intelligence. That when Netanyahu got back now, he explained, this man said, I can't tell you the full details. A big Jewish intelligence guy now, he's retired. He said, but Netanyahu could have lived a comfortable life. He could be on the lecture circuit like Obama and then making tens of millions of dollars. But he came back into politics. Why? Because he sees the threat of Iran. And he has one agenda in his heart. He wants a preemptive strike to make sure that Iran never gets nuclear weapons. Because you can imagine the prince of Persia with nuclear weapons. Can you imagine the spirit of Amalek? The people with that spirit, and they have nuclear weapons. That's the worst nightmare this world could ever have. You see, and Netanyahu, that is his official ambition. is to destroy those nuclear facilities in Iran. So there's a lot of speculation now going on, as a lot of conjecture. We don't know. That is it. Could it be that they're speaking about that? You know, that, okay, if you're going to have war now, if Hezbollah is going to get involved, if Hamas is getting, if Iran's going to say these things, okay, let's just, if you're going to, it's going to get messy, let's finish the problem once and for all. Let's just get there and bomb those nuclear facilities. If the missiles come, America's, those aircraft carriers they put there have got serious anti-missile defenses on them. That's why America's put them there. So if the big missiles start coming and those aircraft carriers can shoot them down, they're the most advanced technology to jam those missiles when they come into Israel. You know, so it's interesting to see where it's going to go. We don't know. But Netanyahu, if he has his way, he'll bash Iran at this time, because he'll say, look, we're never going to get a better opportunity than this, you know. You know, so it could go that way. But it depends on those four angels holding those four winds, because that can quickly get out of control. Now, then other nations, you know, I don't know, it could really spiral into something very serious, which I don't really see scripturally. I don't really see it just yet. So I would personally, this is just me as a man answering you, I would think it's not going to come to that. I don't think it will. I will think Israel's going to get in there, but they're not coming out of Gaza until they have destroyed Hamas. That's how I was showing Samson destroying Gaza and all those things. I mean, like Egypt would go destroyed. The Lord has an issue with the spirit of Amalek, and I do not think that they're going to leave this job half done unless pressure comes so seriously from America for them to stop. But I can't see that, because Biden's there. He's agreeing with them. He's, you know, he's trying to help them at this time. Biden is a Zionist. He does support Israel. He has a lot of other evil policies. But one good point about him, and this atrocity that took place seems to have woken up that genuine something inside of him. So, you know, I think that he'll probably support and allow them to go there and get the job done. And now they are the big deterrent to stop Hezbollah getting involved. Because if Hezbollah gets involved, then it gets messy, because they can do a lot of damage. They got a huge army, they got huge rockets, and they're right on the northern border. So that's why Britain and America are there. Already 2,000 Marines, you know, have been told to deploy into Israel to help with field hospitals, intelligence, and that. So really, there's troops on the ground, American troops. So, you know, I think they're just trying to give a very serious message to Iran to say, don't tell your little boy here who's bothered to get involved, because we are here to stay. Yeah, and I think if that stays like that, I think it might just be in a couple of weeks' time, months' time, whatever that it is, Israel's been in there, a lot of mess, a lot of bad publicity, because the civilians are going to get killed and stuff. But I think they're going to go tunnel by tunnel and blow that place up to make sure that Hamas can never rise up again. And then they said maybe they'll get the Palestinians that run the West Bank, the Palestinian Authority, who used to run Gaza, maybe Israel will ask them to go and take over again and run the place again. I don't know. But that seems to me the most likely outcome. It depends on how far we are in time. You know, we could be further later than we think, and this one could really spiral out of hand and cause a lot of problems in the world. Already the price of fuel is going to go through the roof. Imagine if Iran gets involved in a war with Israel. You think paying, you know, €2 for diesel a litre is a lot. We'll be paying €20 a litre for diesel. You know, we'll be burning our furniture because we won't have enough money for heating oil. You know, so it can cause a lot of problems down there. But personally, I don't think so. But we don't know, bro. That's just me as a man. And I can be wrong 100% of the time, many times.
Sister Susan.
Just
one second, right? Because I always was kind of imagining, I know we talk about the squeeze and little squeeze for the bride and things like that, right? But I always kind of imagine that one day, I hope this recording will be deleted by then, but one day, let's say we're going to go and, you know, secretly, you know, meet in your house, you know, like that kind of way, you know, just be traveling and just say, you know, pretending it's in a church, we'll have a birthday cake in the middle always, you know, just if somebody comes in, we just sing it. Then at least amen, we're going to say happy birthday, you know, or something, you know. So I think that's just my opinion. I think we have too much freedom.
Yeah.
And we can do so much for this to kind of ends like that, if that makes sense, quickly as you see. That's just how I see it, but that's how I was thinking that the for the bright tribulation. I know we have this tribulation with that when we can't, you know, this and that, but I always imagine that that squeeze will be a bit more strict and more kind of severe, that it will be almost like a dividing line between, you know, which side you are, that kind of way, you know, will be much obvious.
The prophet says in the Church Age book, he says, it is in a time of great trouble that Jesus comes. You know, you can read your Church Age book, what he says about, you know, before the rapture. It gets very serious. And now, obviously, there's the other side we were speaking about the other week, about no compromise, which is, you know, the gay agenda and all of these kind of things. You know, there's that whole, that's a whole nother battlefield there, obviously, that comes against the bride in due season. But this is now a political side. This is now a physical side we're speaking about here, which more applies to Israel because they are physical Israel. The bride doesn't get much physical persecution. As soon as they come to put their hand on the bride, Christ comes and takes his bride. There will be a squeeze, but not a persecution in the fullness like that. But to Israel, it comes to fully fledged persecution. Jeremiah 29, the time of Jacob's trouble, until Israel will despair of life and Christ will have to save them. So it's going to get, yeah, so we spiritual Israel, so we get more the spiritual persecution on that side. But yes, it does come into the natural closing people down and all these threats and all that. But I'd say the main one, like this Hamas, and that is, it's mainly towards Israel. I mean, that's how it divides in prophecy with natural and spiritual Israel. I'll show you next week. The prophet says the Feast of Trumpets. We'll have a look at it. Sister Susan, God bless, sister.
Oh, God bless you. Yeah, I just wanted to, but I know like this week I'd attended this meeting. It was for, it's for Muslim women, Islamic women, like who are going through, like they can't, it's a refuge place. Yeah. So it was supposed to be a celebration, but they couldn't. The whole topic that consumed that meeting was the whole Palestine and the Jewish thing. And most people that were there that came in were more like sympathizers, saying, oh, it's now like a genocide. They want to wipe out the whole of Gaza to try and kill everyone. And they don't really want America was suggesting for Egypt to open the borders, everyone evacuate, the civilians to evacuate, then go to Egypt, then they'll rebuild, whatever. But they're like, no, that's a tactic, a conspiracy, trying to get us out of our land. And if we are to evacuate Israel, we end up taking the whole place. And last Saturday, I think in Ireland, there was actually a big protest. And I think this Saturday is going to be even bigger. And most European countries are more like pro-Palestine. And they're very much supporting them. But they're like, oh, no, they're illegal settlements. They're allowing they all agree that, okay, what Hamas did was wrong. But they're like, no, the proportion of which Israel is responding to it is much greater. And
sister, that is why, I mean, like, it's very unfair reporting. And that's not the case at all. I mean, they go out, they kill the innocent, they go hide in their tunnels. Israel is amazing how they do it. There's never been an army that works like Israel. They were speaking to the Arab guy the other day. He says, oh, Israel only gave us 10 minutes to leave. When Israel finds a Hamas facility, it texts or phones every Arab in that area and tells you've got 10 minutes to get out. That's why Hamas was saying, if one bomb falls on a place and you haven't warned the civilians, we kill a hostage. Hamas themselves know that Israel's policy is to warn the people. But I watch it very closely. I have a very good, two very good sources that I have that show exactly why Israel is bombing each building. None of those buildings are just civilian buildings, and they'll never intentionally bomb a building with civilians in. Like those people are saying, they don't think if Israel wanted to destroy Gaza, they would have a long time destroyed them. I mean, Hamas has been shooting missiles for years and terrorizing, blowing up buses and that in Israel. If Israel was a nation that wanted to destroy a people, they would have done it a long time. They've got all the weapons in the world. They could have just bombed them. In 1 hour, there'd be no place called Gaza anymore. But they're very careful where they bomb. Yes, in all wars, remember when America went to Baghdad? A lot of innocent people died at the hand of Americans, but it wasn't their policy to kill them. But it was the same thing. The people use people as human shields. They hide the ammunition in a mosque. Now, Israel this time has said, before we turned a blind eye. They blew up our buses, they killed our children and stuff. But this time, enough is enough. And if that means there's going to be collateral damage among civilians, we don't want it, but we're going to get Hamas this time. We don't care what the world says. We don't care, because that's war. I mean, Israel, that's why Benjamin Netanyahu was very wise. He officially declared war on Hamas. By doing that, the conditions for war now kick in, which is the Geneva Convention. And imagine, Israel should have gone in last week. They've been waiting a week, allowing Hamas to accumulate its weapons, get ready for when they come. Why? Because they said to the people, everyone from below this line, head south. All the people in the north of Gaza, you need to move out the way because we're coming in. If Israel was going to destroy the Palestinians, why does it ask the Palestinians to get out the way when it's coming to fight? Can you see that people don't even think? They don't use their common sense. It's like it's total insanity the way that people think about this. There's never been an army that warns people that they're coming first. That's against the tactics of war. Why would you do that? Because they don't want to kill the civilians. They don't want. Now, civilians are going to die because Hamas is blocking the routes, not allowing civilians to leave. Many civilians are coming out, wanting to go. The Palestinians, the Hamas, are taking away the identity papers from them. Go and see what's happening there to stop them from going, because Hamas wants human shields. That's the very nature of that organization. That's what they stand for. So now it comes down to the Zimmer family's question on social media, so much anti-Semitism. Is it advisable to join the discussions? You're wasting your time. Absolutely wasting your time. Mm-hmm. The Bible says the servant of God should not strive. You will never achieve anything arguing with this. You're arguing with spirits. These are not issues of flesh and blood. If you find you've got a friend and they ask questions nicely and you answer nicely, come let us reason together. But go and look on those forums. I mean, it's not even reasonable what they're saying. You know, I mean, yes, people say, yeah, okay, we're sorry that they killed. They killed 1,300 and something plus, 3,000 injured. They killed babies. They killed, they've taken hostages, 120, including old grannies and young children and stuff. And they're holding, that's against every principle of warfare, against any proper principle. You know, so I mean, before people can say even a speck of a word against Israel, let them keep their focus on Hamas until all those hostages are released. Yeah? Until those people that brutalized babies and raped women and stuff, until they brought to justice as they would be in Israel. Yeah, because they don't allow, that's against the law in Israel. You can't indiscriminately kill people, you go to jail. Not to say that Israeli soldiers haven't done it, but you get in trouble for that. You know, so it's a spirit of anti-Semitism, and you can't argue with the spirit. You can't reason with the spirit. You can't. I've tried it, and I just gave up. I said, I'll never, ever do that again. The spirit of anti-Semitism, and they get violent. The moment you start speaking, yay, be careful. They'll get very violent with you, because that's their anointing. It's a very uncompromising spirit. Sister Bruna said, Brother Ram said something like that Russia will go down for uranium. No, will go down for the oil, he said. And yes, Israel's found a lot of gas, a lot of oil. But even off Gaza, there's a huge natural gas deposit that belongs to Gaza. And Israel's saying, instead of pumping all your money into building terror tunnels and a terror network, why don't you develop your infrastructure? Why don't you tap into this gas and enrich your people? But that's not their ambition. Their ambition is to destroy Israel. That's their stated intent, Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran. They're open about it. They want death to the little Satan Israel, death to the big Satan America. That's their ambition. That's the spirit that's governing them. How do you deal with people like that? You know, I put one thing up just the other day when Hamas put it on the 8th of October, saying, Israel, the Israeli people, they love life, but we love death. We want to die as martyrs. How do you fight against people like that? People that want to send their sons to die, because then they're guaranteed to go to paradise. The only way you're guaranteed in Islam to go to paradise without going through the judgment is to die as a martyr. Then you have 70 virgins. We know the deception of the whole thing. You know, but that they're wanting people to die. They want to die, but Israel wants to live. I mean, Jesus said, I came to give them life. You know, he doesn't want people to die. So, yeah, I, I can really see it, to try to argue with these people, to go to, we went to that demonstration, we walked through it the other day. I said, guys, be careful what you say. You know, don't say anything now, because those guys, I saw what they did to that one guy in South Africa who went to the Israeli flag to one of these demonstrations. If it wasn't for the police, the guy would have been dead. Now they'll tear you to pieces. You don't want to play with this spirit. It's a fanatical, cruel spirit. And people have been fed all of this propaganda, and they believe Israel is this great. But hey, you know, the facts on the ground speak completely different than the narrative. I mean, Israel, not perfect, but absolutely Israel do not want to destroy Gaza. They don't even want to go in there. It's a mess. That's what they say. We don't want to go in here again. We've been here before. It's just a mess. We don't want this. And now all these other Arab nations have so much money. They could easily take in those refugees, like they were saying. All these Arab nations say, Israel's bad, but even Egypt closed its border. Wouldn't let any of those refugees come into Egypt. I mean, what is Israel supposed to do? Hamas has declared war on you, has killed in proportion, like they say, it should be like killing 40,000 Americans because of the populations. Would America allow a terrorist group to kill 40,000 innocent children, women, and so forth, and not go and do something? When they did that, the Twin Towers, they went and bombed Afghanistan. Then they went down to Baghdad, and they destroyed and went into all those places and made sure they defeated the enemy that did those things to them. So that's the rules of war. If a nation, if people attack you, you are entitled to go and attack them. If they hide among the civilians, like cowards like they are, you tell the civilians to get out the way, and you can only go so far on that. But in the end, if Israel doesn't do what it's doing now, in 1 year's time, 6 months' time, they're going to have an even bigger problem. They've got to go, and they've got to fix this problem now. I 100% agree with them. And it's messy, it's sad. Many innocent people are going to die. But who started it? What caused this? It wasn't Israel. Absolutely. People will say, oh, it's because of the occupied territories. Israel gave Gaza, as if you're not going to occupy it anymore, it became a military state which is just trying to destroy Israel. Do you think Israel's going to be foolish again and say, okay, let the West Bank just become completely independent, have their own army and that? They're not fools. Look what happened with Gaza when they did that. You think they're going to allow the big West Bank there to, they're not going to keep control of that area which is right in the heartland of their nation? No, I mean, it's foolish for them not to do it. They don't have a death wish. They want to survive. So, Sister, I agree with you there. That's what people are saying. But I would stay away from those things. I wouldn't get involved in those kind of conversations. We are here to rather testify about Christ, about, you know, the truth, about life. But if somebody asks me the question, I'm very open about these things. That's why me, I support Israel 100% in this. What their mistakes, their faults. It's like you and I, we support one another with our own mistakes and faults, because we ordained to do that. You know, and I don't think any person, Brahman says, the only thing holding America together is their support of the Jews. He says, but one day when they stop supporting the Jews, see what happens to America. And I'm very glad they're supporting them now. And God bless them for doing that. Okay, saints, anything else that anybody wants to ask? That one there, Sister Lydia, there, I wouldn't join those discussions. You go round and round, waste a lot of time where you could be redeeming that time, I think, in far better ways. I don't think it's very fruitful. Unless the Lord opens the door, then may the Lord bless. And Sister Susan, yes, I think any of these things where there's the people get gathered together under the influence of the media, especially colleges now and campuses and that, they don't know the truth. Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. It's an age of deception, and they're deceived. They really think Israel is this great Satan that's against everybody, which is not the case. They just want to live peacefully. Go there and see. There's Israeli Arabs. Yeah, they have Israeli passports. They live just in the midst of people. There's Arab towns in Israel. They have exactly the rights everyone else. Israel is the only democracy in the whole of the Middle East. Egypt's not a democracy. Lebanon's not a democracy. Israel allows opposition parties. There's Arab parties in their parliament that don't agree with the government. Do you find that anywhere else? Israel allows freedom of religion. They allow all of these things. They allow the whole gay agenda. Now they're totally open in their society. Go and take a Bible, like I say, to Saudi Arabia and see how long you last before they throw you out. They don't go to Iran with a rainbow flag and see how quickly you'll be put to death. You know, so it's so strange. Everyone's against Israel. And they're totally blind to all these things that these other nations stand for and what these other nations do. It's just the end time, saints. That's the time that we're living in. Is that okay, Sister Susan? Anything further you wanted to say there?
I know. That's perfect. Yeah, I was just saying, like, in that event, I was just quiet. I couldn't say anything.
You were wise, sister.
And but I refused to get a picture with the flag, you know, the Palestinian pro, whatever. I think the lady was by my head, didn't understand why I didn't. But she tried, like, no, prayer. Like, no, please. I just didn't want. I just kept quiet.
Yes.
But the sad thing was that, like, one of the ladies, she claims to be a Christian, and she ended up going to extent where she was quite emotional. It was almost like criticizing the God of Israel, saying, oh, as a Christian, and I just didn't sit well with me. But yeah, at the end, I just tried not to say anything. But since I was a minority in a big...
Yes. You can't, sister, you can't. And like I said, this is not a thing. This is a real political spirit as well. You know, people get very violent with that spirit on them. You know, when you start speaking, you can't reason with people like that. I've seen it. They get violent and they get angry and in your face. You can't go. I mean, if you go with an Israeli flag now, let's say we go to Dublin on Saturday, you go with the Israeli flag on your car. You're going to get some comments. You're going to have some guys coming up and telling, if you don't take that off, next time you're going to find out where you live. You'll find those kind of comments will come. That's exactly, we saw it in Australia. Those young guys just taking an Israeli flag out of their car, and here comes the big Amalekite, and he tells them, and they were filming it, and the guys are actually arrested for it. You know, the guy comes and tells them, you put that away, otherwise I'll take your number plate and I'll find out where you live, you know. So, I mean, it's like, it's not fair. They want everyone to have democracy and freedom in Israel. But then nobody's allowed to have democracy or freedom. They want freedom of speech so they can say all these things against Israel. Go and say one thing against the Quran and see what happens to you. Go and say one thing against the Prophet and see what happens to you. You know, you'd never do that. Respect another man's religion. I've always tried to do that. But can you just see how unfair that it is? You know, it's like there's two different rules here. Israel must live by this perfection in the midst of Middle East, that's when they're surrounded by enemies that hate them and have sworn their destruction. Israel must live up to this perfect democracy. And yet all of these other nations don't have to live up to that standard. Why? It's not fair. It just shows we're living in the end time. It's the spirit of the end times. And we just need to be wise. Choose your battles carefully. Like I say, we don't need to get caught up. I don't want this to be a political thing. You know, it's not my idea. We're trying to show in prophecy. Watch Persia. These things mean something. These events, there's a spirit behind them, and we know where these things are going to end up. So may the Lord really help us. Let's ask Brother Sasha to pray for us as we finish. And God bless you, saints. Have a wonderful evening, and may the Lord grant us wisdom in these things. Brother Sasha, are you there, bro? Oh, okay. No problem, bro.
Can you hear me, everybody?
We can hear you, bro.
Okay. God bless you, saints. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, we see, Lord, that end is approaching, Lord, and we know, Lord, that what is to Israel in flesh, Lord, that is for us in spirit, Lord. And I believe, Lord, that Israel is only blessed in the bride, Lord, no matter how much people that pronounce, Lord, like Israel was blessed in Esther, Lord, that Israel is blessed in us by Christ Jesus, who will go back to them, Lord. And Lord, I believe that only the bride see the real truth, what is going on and what is happened, and what mercy it is to have this gospel, Lord, when Amen. We see all this tribulation is coming, how we are privileged people to know that you will come and take us before all these things, and how we should be, Lord, serious, Lord, and trim our lamps, Lord, and check our oil, Lord, because we see these things approaching, Lord. Lord, help Israel, Lord. Bless them, Lord, in the blessings, Lord, of Jesus Christ, not just by our words, by your word, Lord. Let it be like you said, Lord, blessed are those who are blessing Israel, Lord. And let it be blessed in us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to live good life, Lord, Help us to push at the end, Lord, and wait for the rapture, that this gospel can go back to them and take them away. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, brother. God bless you. Have a good evening, saints. Tricky times. May the Lord grant us grace to walk with him. Have a wonderful rest of your week. God bless.
Hook in spot, Benjamin.
Oh, Benjamin. Where's Wally? Where's Benjamin?
Yeah, that's it. And it's a TV. Very good.
God bless.
God bless.